Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. In fact, over 1 million homeowners took advantage of refinancing or buying a new home with Rocket Mortgage. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase again, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. With an official mortgage review from Rocket Mortgage, you'll see just how much money you could save by making a move right now. Don't look back over these next few weeks and wish that you had taken action. You could save hundreds on your mortgage payments or pay off your home loan earlier than planned. You could even take cash out of your home to pay off high-interest debt, complete home repairs, or bulk up on an emergency fund. When you want to secure a low rate, Rocket can. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLS ConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
I'm talking to Pastor Louis Giglio in Atlanta. Welcome to the show.
It's so good to be on. I've wanted to be on your show for a while. And before we do anything, I want to tell you your message at the prayer breakfast. Don't remember the exact year.
2012. I was just a child.
Possibly the best talk. Definitely top 10 talk in my lifetime. Amazing. I still remember most of it. And especially your 1% joke was awesome. So great job.
I don't even remember the 1% joke. I'm not even kidding. I did a 1%. Oh, I know. I remember. Yes.
Yeah. The zenith of the day. And you said, you know what? This breakfast is pretty expensive. You'd have to be in the 1% to actually attend this.
Most of my jokes are very, you know, if you basically were alive in 2012, that was part of the cultural conversation about the 1%. Because unfortunately, the Democrats have taken to kind of demonizing the people who have money as it's the 1%. And I just thought, I've got Obama right here. I get to bust his chops with a 1% joke. It was so much fun. That's my love language. If I bust your chops, I like you. So, Louis, I don't like you because I haven't made fun of you. For those of us who can see you, who are not listening by radio, there's the moon is behind you. That is so beautiful. What is that? Why do you have a moon behind you, the moon?
I have the moon behind me because I'm shooting this in one of the meeting rooms in our church location here in Atlanta, and we're very into the cosmos here. We love God and we love his creation. I've been fascinated by space for a long time. One of my dear friends is on the space station as we're speaking right now, was commanding the Dragon when it docked a few days ago. And we just love it. God made a big world to show off his glory. So if you look around our office, you're going to see little hints of that here and there. So me and the moon with you today.
I love it. I my next book, which is coming out in the fall, it's called Is Atheism Dead? And I get into the arguments for God. And the most astonishing argument is from science, having to do with the fine-tuned universe. And when you realize things that science tells us, like if the moon were any smaller, 5% smaller, 5% bigger, there would be no life on Earth. You think, that can't be. That's what science tells us. So every part of the great cosmos is designed by the Lord. I mean, it's too much. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about you and your book. Do you happen to have any copies near you?
I was looking around for one today, and I was hoping to get one in the shot, but I'm not sure if it made it or not.
Well, I like whoever designed it. I like it. It says, don't give the enemy a seat at your table. And because you use the enemy, referring to Satan, the book has been a number one bestseller on Amazon in Christian angelology and demonology. I find that very funny. Tell us in a nutshell so people don't run away from their TV sets. What is the book about?
Okay, I'm going to tell you in a nutshell before that Amazon wants to tell you your book is number one in something. So
exactly.
This book hasn't come out yet. It's still in pre-sale. Comes out a few days from now. So they're looking for a way to tell me I've got a bestseller. And right now it's in angelology and demonology.
Right.
That's not what the book's about. We're trying to get out of that category, actually.
Right.
This book is about changing the way you think. And the title simply came to me in a text. I was in a rough patch, a couple of months stretch where a lot of headwind was coming. This was 6-8 years ago. And coming on the backside of it, something had happened that had vindicated me, and a little bit of the truth had popped up. And we loved that day. And I sent a long text to a friend to commiserate with. And the friend sent me back a phrase. I was so frustrated because I'd formulated this super long text. And what I got back was 9 words. No kidding. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. And I stood at the top of my driveway, Eric, and I knew right in that moment, I have spent the last 6 months letting the enemy plant all these thoughts, all this negativity, all this fear, all this sense of trying to control everything. I've been in a conversation with my adversary all this time, and I decided right there, by the power of God, I am going to take back my table. And I think all of us are in that position right now. And it's time to take back our thinking, take back our own minds, take back our thoughts, and get the enemy away from our table.
Well, I love it because this is actual Christianity, right? In other words, if you're not trying to glorify God even in your thought life, first of all, you're doing self-harm because he commands us to be anxious for nothing. He commands us to take our problems to him, and on and on and on. It's all in Scripture. But we kind of act, if I'm not committing any overt sins, not realizing that those are the ultimate sins, is when I don't believe God in my mind, I'm harming myself and I'm disobeying God. But many of us kind of act like, oh, that's extra credit Christianity. But you're saying, no, we all have to deal with this.
Yeah, fear is the number one debilitating thing in humanity right now. We are so fearful of everything going on around us and a whole bunch of stuff that's going on inside of us. And the antidote to fear is not courage. It's not, hey, we need to get more courage so that we're not afraid. The antidote to fear is faith. And faith is the confidence that God is in it with me. And yes, there's cancer going on or a circumstance or a global meltdown or we're in an endemic in America. Something is going on that's real, but God is in it with me. And so it's taking control of the thought. You know, we far too often just host these thoughts like, hey, I just dropped in. I'm going to tell you something that's not true. I'm going to lie to you about the circumstance or about you. And we just host it. We give hospitality to the enemy and to that thought. We let it take root in our lives. And it's just as simple as taking the thought captive. So to say to somebody, hey, stop worrying, that's the worst advice you can give to somebody. Because as soon as you say stop worrying, I'm worrying now if I can stop worrying or not. What we need to say is, hey, let's focus on one thing that's true about God right here. One thing true that we know we can count on about God right now. Let's focus on that. Let's make that our narrative. And it's replacing that lie with truth. And God's given every one of us the ability to take control of our thinking. By the power of Christ in us, we can change the way we think.
Isn't it a cultural issue? In other words, there's some churches that stress this and other churches that don't. I mean, I've been in churches that maybe more on the Pentecostal side or whatever, where they live in that faith. They say, God decides when I leave this world. The enemy doesn't decide. The doctors don't decide. God decides. They know that, and they remind themselves, and they say it. And there are other people that they're part of a church culture that says, well, who's to say whatever is the Lord's will? And they're kind of timid about it. It's almost like they act like, I just need to be a good boy, and who knows, you know, who am I to say? In other words, they're not really living out the authority of Scripture. They're kind of timid, and it creeps in almost as a, it's like a kind of a false humility. They think that, you know, to speak with the authority of the name of Jesus, that would be a little bit, you know, too much. I want to be humble. I don't know that I could speak with his authority, but Scripture says, of course we should.
Well, both of those things live in a balance, and I can't solve it, and you can't solve it, and you're one of the smartest people I know, but you can't explain the sovereignty of God and the free choice right of a man. It is a mystery in the kingdom of God, but I think both of us believe in the sovereignty of God. You're going to make a cosmos like this, and they get surprised by anything. But God also has put us in motion and given us the ability to activate his truth in our lives, and we have the choice to choose his word, to choose his truth, to choose to live in the finished work of Jesus, to choose to take control over the things that we think about. And so many of us cop out. You hear people say it all the time. Oh, my mom, she was a major worrier. And my grandmother was a major worrier. That's why we're all worriers. All of us Giglios, we're just worriers. We've always been worriers.
That's fatalistic right there, right?
That's a cop-out.
It's like we were all wife beaters, and that's why, you know, now and again I get to drinking. It's like, wait a minute. What about you?
Listen, right? We have the opportunity in Christ to have a new start. And the way the Bible talks about it is we're new creation in him. And yes, we're struggling with our old flesh and we're living in a broken world, but we have a brand new identity, brand new resource in Christ. And it's beginning to understand that, receive it, accept it, agree with it, and then live out of it. And that's where the power is.
Well, I mean, even that, what you said, for some people, that's kind of radical. Like you said, I'm a new creation. You mean that. And I believe that. We are new creations. And we have to sort of assert that and remind ourselves, no, that's back there. That's in my gene pool. I'm a new creation. But if you don't know what the scripture says, and if you don't, you're not in a faith community, a church that is reminding you, it is so easy to think, well, it's a continuum. I'm in process, whatever. And you forget that. But scripture says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation.
Yeah, well, it is a process. And I've told my story over a decade ago. I fell in a hole of depression and anxiety that knocked me out for months. I was out of commission. And the fact that I'm back here in my right mind, Christ in my eyes, functioning in my gifts is a miracle to me. And I know how far down is when it comes to mental health. And so I take it seriously. But I want people listening to us, or if they can see us today, to know that it might not change overnight. And the stuff we're talking about right now isn't instantaneous. Hey, get the book and you'll be a brand new thinker tomorrow. But if we commit to the process of renewing our minds, that process scientifically actually works. And when you stop thinking a lie and you start thinking what is pure, true, lovely, of good report, praiseworthy, think about these things, Paul said, you're creating a new neuropathway in your mind. And if you think about it long enough, that neuropathway turns into a highway.
Amen.
And you have got a whole new way of thinking.
Forgive me. We'll be right back talking to Louis Giglio. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Louis Giglio with a new book, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. It's time to win the battle of your mind. Ain't it the truth? Now, Louis Giglio, you're in Atlanta. What part of Atlanta is your church in?
We're in the heart of it. We're in Buckhead area, Lindbergh area, and also out near the new Brave Stadium. Two locations here.
Oh, wow. Because I know I have not
also
been to your
have
church.
Also location in Washington, D.C., of all things.
Right on. Wow. Yeah, I know that I've not visited your church, but we have many friends in common, and I'm just glad that you are where you are, and I'm glad you think the way you do, because as I was saying before, there are a lot of churches, they kind of forget about this stuff, and it's a pity, because we are, you know, who we hang out with, and if you're hanging out with people that live in this stuff, you begin to get like, oh, this is normative Christianity, this is what God's will is for me. And it's for everybody. It's not just for, you know, extra credit Christians. This is basic Christianity, and it's because the Lord loves us, and he doesn't want us to be ruled by fear and anxiety and all those things. How were you raised? Were you raised in this kind of a church, or were you raised as a believer?
I was born into faith, and actually I was born into a great church called First Baptist Church Atlanta with a pastor named Dr. Charles Stanley, who, for my money, is one of the best expository preachers ever in America. And he came to my church when I was 12 years old. We were on Peachtree Street between 4th and 5th Street. That building doesn't exist there anymore, right next to the historic, fabulous Fox Theater in our city. And so I grew up in an urban environment, but I grew up under the Word of God. And I actually interviewed him for a podcast yesterday. He's 88 years old. He just stepped down last year from being senior pastor at First Baptist Church. And when I grew up, he preached Sunday morning. He preached a different message Sunday night. And he preached another message on Wednesday night. And all it was, there was no illustrations. There was no stories. It was open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 4. Today I'm preaching on confidence in God. And I had 9 points and they all start with L. And boom, there we go. I arrived at grad school a few years later to get a seminary degree. And about 3 months in, I'm like, I already have a seminary degree. I listened to someone rightly divide the word every Sunday from the time I was 12 to the time I left college and went to grad school. And so I grew up in that church. It wasn't a super expressive, like worship filled environment. But it was a Bible teaching environment and I loved it. And now we're just a Jesus church. I meet people around town every day almost that say, you're a pastor. What kind of church is it? And everybody wants to know, what denomination are you in? What lane are you in? And the answer we give people at Passion City is we're a Jesus church. And you're going to get Jesus if you come here. You're not going to get Louis Giglio. You're not going to get some, you know, crazy opinions. You're going to get scripture and Jesus. And that's what we want to rally people around. It's the gospel. It's still as powerful as it was the day Jesus was raised from the dead. And we want to proclaim it every way we can in this city.
Well, I love that. And, you know, it's amazing to me. It's good for somebody like me to hear that you were raised in that kind of a church. You got spectacular teaching over and over and over and over and over. And yet, even recently, you struggled in your mind. I have struggled for, you know, decades with, you know, actual depression and meds and stuff. And it's an extraordinary thing because for me, I can't imagine how I would deal with it if I didn't have faith in Jesus. That's kind of the rock that you know what is true and false and you don't trust your feelings. But it is a hard thing. And a lot of people almost act as though, well, but if you're serious about your faith, you shouldn't go through that. They don't really understand. It's a medical thing. It's a chemical thing. It's complicated.
It's real. People need to hear that it is real, and they don't need band-aids. They don't need spiritual platitudes. They don't need people telling them if you just had more faith or memorized a verse of scripture. Listen, when I fell in that hole, of course my friends came and prayed for me. The leaders of the church came and anointed me with oil for crying out loud, as it says in the scripture. I prayed. I prayed every day that God would do something, change something, but I was so far down in a hole, I didn't know which way was up. And I reached out for help, all kinds of help. And I say to people, if you need help, get help. And here's what's happening. I did an event yesterday with Craig Rochelle, who is got the biggest church in America and the leader of leaders. Jenny Allen, who did a gathering for women a few weeks ago that there were millions of ladies linked together online from around the world. All three of us had a story of being in that hole. Leaders are not immune from the reality of living on a broken world. And the more we act like we have it all together and are different than the person sitting on row two, the bigger the divide and the more frustrating it is for people living real lives going, well, somehow these people don't deal with stuff. And I'm like, no, we all deal with stuff. We're all in this together. We're all leaning on the same God, same Savior, same Shepherd, and fighting the same enemy. And I think when we're a little more open with each other and we take mental health a lot more seriously than we have as a church, we're going to see a lot more people get help and a lot more people find freedom.
Well, I'm just glad you're talking about it. I've been pretty public about it just because I think there are people out there who need to know. All kinds of people go through not just difficulties but mental health issues. And you shouldn't beat yourself up or think it's just me, because there are just so many people that are dealing with that. They may not show it publicly, because why would they? They're just going to hide. If I feel horrible, I'm not going to be out doing what I do. Or if I do, I'm going to be acting my way through it, and then I'll go back to bed. But you're the pastor of a pretty big church in Atlanta. I've not visited, but I keep saying that I want to, just because I love to see what God is doing around the country. Before we get back to the book, I just want to ask you, how do you deal with kind of the woke madness that's taking over some churches, and they're acting as though I've kind of got to go along with this? when oftentimes what you're going along with is false or harmful or at least unhelpful, how do you navigate that?
Very carefully.
Yeah.
And you want to keep your pulse really linked up with the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus is preaching a gospel. He is a gospel, represents a gospel that brings people together, actually racially unites people. His audience was divided racially in his contemporary environment. And the gospel unites people. Jew and Gentile can come together. And if Jew and Gentile can come together, anyone can come together. And so what I've tried to do as a person who grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, I grew up in a culture here where there was not racial equality in our city in my lifetime. But I also live in a very diverse city, and our leadership, business leadership, government leadership, influencers, Atlanta is one of the most diverse cities in America, especially at the leadership level, and I love it. And I think that we have to understand each other. I have to be able to understand that my African-American neighbor does fear when his kids leave the house because he's not sure they're going to make it home. I also have to understand I have another neighbor that fears when they leave the house because our city's got a lot of crazy stuff going on right now. And I think it's understanding, it's mutual respect of humanity, yet holding truth. Jesus came full of grace and full of truth, not one, not the other. Filled with both. And so the thing I've tried to do is be understanding, listen to people's story, try to empathize with them, understand where they're coming from, but keep the message on Jesus. Keep preaching the gospel, keep putting the spotlight on him, let him draw people to him. And if one crazy thing has happened because of this last year we went through and all the things we've gone through, more people have heard the gospel, I believe, in the last 12 months than probably the 10 years before that. And we've been able to virtually preach the gospel around the world. And I'm just trying to lead and keep the focus on Jesus.
Well, it's and as you say, it's sort of not easy because, I mean, we're inevitably political at some point. I mean, the life issue is a big deal. I know a prominent Christian came out for, I guess it was Senator Warnock, who is, you know, not just politically liberal, but is openly pro-abortion, and an openly a Christian figure came out for him. And I thought, we really are living in crazy times. We're so divided. And even that issue is something you would expect Christians would say, well, on that, there's no discussion. So it is hard right now. And I can imagine being a pastor, you're being torn in all these different directions. In your book, you know, you talk about when you're a believer, God gives us the authority to use his name, to use the authority of the name of Jesus. Talk about that, because I think I said earlier, a lot of people kind of act like, well, I wouldn't do that. That's like, you know, that's for, maybe you could do that. But that's kind of, this is basic Christianity. We can walk through this crazy time with him.
Yeah, Paul said it this way. He said, we're not fighting a normal war here. So our weapons are not earthly weapons. They're spiritual weapons, and they're able to tear down strongholds. So I know both my parents are gone. They both had debilitating illnesses. They both died. My dad had a really, really tragic life story. And his dad had a tragic life story. So I know coming down the road on the Giglio side, from my Louis number one to Louis number two to Louis number three, there's been a lot of messed up stuff. And so those are strongholds. Those are generational neuropaths that get passed down consciously, subconsciously, and genetically to people. But this passage in Scripture, it says, these weapons we have are able to demolish strongholds. That is a powerful phrase. And they're able to allow us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, that thought just came in my mind. I don't have to provide it a meal, give it shelter, give it a blanket, let it move in and stay. I ask it a question, and this is the question I ask. Where did you come from? And you can tell if you know God's word and his character right away if that thought came from God. And if it didn't, it's going to have to go. You're going to have to bind it, or it's going to bind you. And how do you bind it? You don't bind it in your authority. You don't go, I am big and strong and mighty and powerful, and I created the universe, and I command you to leave my table. No, you go in the name that's power. You go in the name that makes the darkness tremble. You go in the name that the demons know, and you say, in the authority of Jesus. And a lot of people say, oh, that sounds wacky, Louis, that I'm going to be saying in the authority of Jesus. Well, why does that sound wacky? His name is the name that is above every name. He has the title, it says in another place, above every title. Every knee is going to bow to this name in heaven and earth and under the earth. And so why wouldn't we use that name? Why wouldn't we stand on that authority? He's already taken the beachhead. Why wouldn't we come and stand in the victory that Jesus has provided for us?
Well, it's interesting. You know, you're talking about living in the reality of a spiritual war. And I really do think that a lot of Christians act like, well, I sort of believe that, but they don't really believe it. We need to know that is true, that our prayers and our words can tear down strongholds. And I find that when I've gone through real depression, thoughts will come to you that are true technically, but they're not truth. They're not pointing to the one who is truth. And so you need to recognize them as lies from the enemy. Even though they might be facts, they're the kind of facts that are designed to depress you, to tear you down, rather than to build you up. So even what we hear, even if it's true sometimes, people say, hey, did you know so-and-so? If I hear that now, it's not going to lead me closer to Jesus and closer to his peace. We've just got 30 seconds left. Forgive me. What are some final thoughts? This is so important.
Elisha the prophet woke up one day and his servant told him, we're surrounded, and the Arameans came during the night. It was true to your point. Great point. But there was something more true. And when the servant's eyes were open, the angels and the chariots were on the hillside. So look to God's truth. It's bigger than whatever you're facing today. God wants to set you free, and you can, in fact, change the way you think.
Those things are true, and they're also truth. Folks, Louis Giglio, the new book, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. Thank you so much.
Eric, it's a privilege to be on. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.